WMP, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yo, welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 13th and 14th. Beware the Ides, baby! Starting March 15th, the Ides of March. And Captain Dave the Rave Show of Seagan Bay Sports Center may be having his Ides of March 2nd Annual Perch Tournament. Give him a call there or check his Facebook or website page. It's just that's with a heavy heart, with a heavy heart. My next guest on the line, let's open the show. It's very important. People have been asking me for the past, I'd say, solid month. Honestly, hey, Tommy P, what's up with that Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo? Man, that fishing expo down there at the convention center. Is it going on? What's happening? Because, you know, the AC Boat Show was canceled. Edison Boat Show was canceled. Big fishing flea markets canceled across the board. Show owner and show promoter Jerry Vessel. Three girls skirts, bucktails. And man, these are some badass fluke, man. He's a big fluke guy as well. He's on the Rack of Finn Lauser joining us with some, I'd say, sad news. Jerry, how you going? You strung it out as long as you can, brother. What is the word?
Tommy P, I want to just start off by saying good morning, and it is great to hear a friendly voice, that's all.
Oh, thanks, man. Come on, we're like brothers, so this is,
yeah,
you stuck it
from
out.
Another mother, that's all.
Right, from the show we were at 2 years ago, very successful show. I mean, lines to get in. You cross it all, man. You had great seminars, great deals, great vendors, boat sales. I saw boats go. I mean, you did it. And then the pandemic hit. We knew that was a wash. We strung out last year as long as you could, and then the word came down. No, this year there was hope. There was a glimmer of hope. And then when was it official that, insofar as having it at the convention center, it's not going to happen?
At the convention center, it was kind of early on that it wasn't going to happen. But I had planned on thinking outside the box, because I know how jacked up people are and how it's been so cooped up for over a year. I wanted to do an outdoor show, and even with that, just with the restrictions, it became impossible. So I made the official call and pulled the plug for 2021, which, you know, broke my heart.
Yeah.
And but we are rescheduled already for January of 2022, and we plan on being the very first show right out of the box.
Whoa!
January 8th and 9th, and we're coming on strong at the convention center.
Great timing, Jay. Great timing on that.
Yeah, we're trying to be first out of the box and let everybody know that we're quiet, but we're not gone. And I think everybody's voice needs to be heard at some point. And I just honestly believe everybody's tired of being inside. So I wanted to just be the guy that says, you know what, we're ready to kick the doors in and get this show started.
We're speaking with Jerry Vessel, owner, promoter of the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Has been put off second year in a row. Well, Darren, let me ask you this, not to put you on the spot, but I know you're about as subtle as a Sherman tank, bro. When they said restrictions outside, listen, outside, you have the huge parking lot, you have the ball field across the street, outside, were they really worried about what transmission of COVID? I don't get why the kibosh on the outside venues, Jerry. I just don't. Can you explain that?
The outdoors, it is, we have a saying that Simon Says. Simon Says you can do this. Simon Says you can do that.
Very
if you
well
do
put.
Something Simon doesn't say, you're in trouble. And that's where it was. I contacted all the right people. I even had it set up, Tom, where I wanted to do three separate venues to do three separate, by contract, three separate events. And they told me it's all the same parade grounds. It's all the same event. And you're limited to 25 people, period. And
that makes no sense.
We have almost 200 between vendors and staff. So,
well, Jerry, again, my heart aches. I love that show. It was a big show. It was a small, tight, well-run, well-laid-out show that you went there. And, Jerry, you know me, man, I saw people spending money up, down, and sideways. Great deals. You had it all there. You had it all, and you had a great venue. You had the Wildwood Convention Center. It was a win-win, but we shall see. January 8th, listeners, it's going to be at the Wildwood Convention
January Center. January 8th and 9th.
The first show
2022.
Of the year.
Yes.
Hey, Vessel, do I get to dress up like a deranged Santa Claus? Come on, man. I lost my way.
you can be anything you want.
Well, Jerry, thanks.
Anything you want, Tom.
Thanks for getting the word out, because people were asking me via phone calls, via text, via emails about the show. So you did what you can do, Jerry, and hats off to you. You're a very successful promoter, very successful show owner, expo owner, and it will continue. January 8th and 9th, 2022. We'll be here before you know it. Sure, it's already April. I mean, what the frick?
I know.
Three Tommy, turns of the calendar summer, page, right? Already gone. What? What?
You and the bride have a open reservation at all times, so.
You mean fluke fishing?
Fluking, man, fluking.
Listen.
Fluking that, is my fluking favorite thing to do.
Dee Marie is ready to go. I'm ready to go, but not vessel. Listen, he is a doormat and airy rug fluker. Especially with his three girl skirts, bucktails. Hey, Jerry, man, I ain't going 20-something miles out. Why'd you drop me off like at that little pier by, a grassy channel or something like that, or whatever, down there in Wawa. Yeah, leave me there.
I'll take care of you, Tommy. We did good last year, so.
That you did.
Even
that
you did. Caught a fluke last year.
He had to get that in there, didn't he? I guess you qualified. Well, Jerry, take care. Good luck January 8th and 9th, listeners. The Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo will be the first outdoor show on a docket. Make a point to attend, and we will have all information out of Jerry. Starting in when, you think, October, November?
I'm going to have everything together. Probably advertising will start around September, October.
Okay, let's get we'll get the word out there. Listen, it's going to be a lot of
vendors
fun.
Are needed, of course, you know, so
yeah. And spend
everything is always
spend that Christmas.
I have room
money,
to
man.
Expand. And exactly. Gift cards are welcome.
Okay, Jerry, by the way, have a lovely wife and those three vessel daughters, man. They're the cutest, most beautiful, and even cuter than beautiful. You got them all.
They are. They're doing fantastic because even though I've gained weight, I've lost hair. So they're doing their job. So
spoken as only a fishing dad can.
They are doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Okay, Jerry, we'll see you sometime this spring, man. You take care, brother.
I hope so. Thank you, Tom. Thanks again.
Good luck.
See you, brother.
Yeah, man, he really worked his ass off to get this show going. But again, outside, oh, no, you can't do that. My God. Hey, listen, just a reminder, too, there's a virtual turkey hunt workshop. It's going to run April 11th through 25th, April 11th, 7 p.m., April 18th, 7 p.m., and April 25th, 7 p.m. Karen Byrne, Division of Fish and Wildlife, who's running this, was on Rack and Fin last week. Go to njfishandwildlife.com, click on the links for the turkey hunting links, and it's got a $50 fee, registration fee, but it is so packed with knowledge. And a membership to the National Wild Turkey Federation is included in the price, and there will be some very cool turkey hunting giveaways. Go to njfishandwildlife.com, check on the turkey hunting link, or any questions, contact Karen Byrne, karen.byrne@dep.nj.gov. Okay, coming up, man, we got Principal Fisheries Biologist Chris Smith. It is prime bass time. No, not the ones with the line siders, not the striper kind. Largemouth bass time. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
This is Harry Hurley for Comfort Keepers of Atlantic, Cape May, and Ocean Counties. Comfort Keepers treats your family member like a member of their own family. Home is where the help is. Comfort Keepers helps people live safely and independently at home for as long as possible. Comfort Keepers goes above and beyond to provide professional in-home care that elevates your quality of life and delivers you with peace of mind. Comfort Keepers is available when you need them the most, whether it's for as little as 4 hours per week or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including weekends and holidays. Comfort Keepers treats each client with dignity and respect. Call Comfort Keepers at 609-277-7855. That's 609-277-7855. They're on the web at comfortkeepers.com. Comfortkeepers.com. Please tell Comfort Keepers that Harry Hurley sent you.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Hey, just a reminder, March 15th, all fishing in those lakes that are stocked with trout, verboten. Okay, no fishing whatsoever. Maybe one of your best bass waters, one of your best pickerel waters, but that is going to be closed until 8 a.m. on April 1st. It'll be one of two opening days for the trout season, same thing as last year, but we still have some great, great largemouth bass fishing going on in Central and South Jersey. This is prime time. Now, there's still plenty of waters that are not stocked with trout that offer excellent bass fishing opportunities. Very special guest on Rack and Fin Radio, longtime acquaintance with Rack and Fin, is Principal Fisheries Biologist Christopher Smith, former two-time New Jersey Bass Angler of the Year, and he is in charge of the warm and cool water projects in the state of New Jersey. We want to talk, as Chris always said, Tom P. Oh, February, March, early April. That is the time for your biggest largemouths in Jersey. Chris, thanks for joining us on short notice. I'm fired up, man. You know I'm a trout guy, but I'm loving my bass fishing, Chris. It's going to be banging it up.
Oh, absolutely, Tom. I'm really looking forward to it myself. I think it's going to be a really, really good year.
And Chris, one of the guys, I had a guy call me the other night. Yeah, but Tommy P, it sucks. All these waters that they're dumping the trout and can't fish some great bass lakes. Have patience, guys. Come on. And girls, there are some fine opportunities, excellent opportunities available. Chris, right off the top of my head, we have Union Lake. We have Lake Assanpink. We have the Salem Canal. We have Lower Alloways Lake. South Jersey, especially, Chris, is rife with prime bass waters. Is it not?
Oh, absolutely. Like the few you just mentioned. I mean, those are some of our better waters in the state. I mean, you know, and again, those small lakes that are closed to, closed for preseason trout stocking, they're going to be open again in a couple weeks. And,
sure.
Those fish will be are waiting to be caught. So, definitely we have some great opportunities right now. I'll be getting out to Union Lake here in the next week or so.
And, oh, nice.
You know, this is one of my favorite times. You know, to fish in South Jersey and definitely at Union Lake.
Well, Chris, one of the things from my end, certain times, don't get me wrong, it's happened. I never really associated, having the jackets on and the neck gaiters and stuff with largemouth fishing. That's trout time. That's ice fishing time like we've been enjoying. But I'll tell you, Chris, you are absolutely right. When it comes to getting the biggest, Chris, I would say the biggest bass of the year, now is the time, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things about fishing in the early season, that late winter, early, pre-spawn, it's sometimes a little, it's a little blurred, what is actually winter and what is actually that pre-spawn, quote unquote, period. But that is definitely our best time to catch that big fish. This is a rather predictable time until the weather starts to change. So recently we just had a couple, high 60s, 70 degree days. Those fish starting, they want to start moving shallow,
right,
to get warm. When they start moving shallow to get warm, that's when they kind of go out of those more predictable areas. They start roaming around.
Uh-huh.
They're a little more scattered, a little harder to catch. So really, back a couple weeks ago, end of February, that first week in March, that's that really, really predictable time. Now, as we get a couple warming trends, we get 2-3 warm-ups. Then the fish get a little more predictable into the mid to end of March. That's when it gets really good too. Again, with those big fish, but then you start getting into some more numbers too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, we had again, 2 or 3 warm days. Now this is Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's going to cool down, not get cold, but cool down again. It's cool down again. Are those fish still going to be actively seeking the shelter, or with a few degree drop in the water temperature, move back out to where they were prior to the warm up?
I actually think, we talked, a couple friends of mine and other biologists, that work for the division. We were just talking about this in the last couple of days and, talking about fish behavior and movement. I myself believe that the better fishing opportunities would actually come the day after this. So you have 3-4 days of a warm up and then it cools down a little bit. I myself believe that after that cool down occurs is actually better fishing than those periods of warming trend.
Mm-hmm.
Once it gets back into a little more stable seasonal, average temperatures into the, low 50s, high 40s, that's more stable of what it should be. 75 degrees this time of year, it gets those fish moving.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not necessarily what triggers them to want to eat. So once it cools down a little bit, a couple days of a cool down, once the wind switches around, it positions those fish in very predictable locations, but they're easier to catch once it cools down a little bit.
Chris, you mentioned it, eat. In other words, listen, bait fish movement, Chris, be it the shad, be it the herring, be it the shiners, be it the fathead minnows or whatever. What is the bait movement? Are they responding similarly as the bass are to the few degree bump in the water temperature and then a few degree drop in the water temperature? What's the dealio?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the first things that, we see in a lot of the South Jersey ponds where we do have gizzard shad, Union Lake's one, Parvin State Park, even the DOD Lake, these are fish that, they do key in on. Davis Mill Pond is another one we've talked about in the past that has a good gizzard shad population. So those fish are targeting those gizzard shad actively roaming around all winter long. you know, as long as it's not ice covered, you know, and they're feeding on a big forage. Some other lakes, like we'll say, you know, as an example, maybe Rainbow Lake, that doesn't necessarily have as extensive of a gizzard shad population, right, but has a golden shiner population. So mm-hmm, those same mm-hmm. fish, so golden shiners, yellow perch, bluegill even to some extent, you know, they start to want to move shallow too, you know, as soon as the water starts to move up. So we, in our sampling, our electrofishing sampling that we do early season, occasionally we do get out end of February, beginning of March, do some electrofishing. One of the first fish that we see move shallow is the yellow perch. You'll have your right. young of the year yellow perch that are, you know, from last year's spawn. These fish are going to be anywhere between about three, you know, four or five, 6 inches long. And they move up in large schools. You know, they're an early season spawner. First, that and pickerel, chain pickerel, are the two earliest spawners that we have. So those fish are moving, you know, shallow and big schools real early, right after ice out. And those largemouth do key in on those, you know, those fish.
Yeah, Chris, those are one of the best cast secrets. Joe's here about shiners, Joe's here about the shevet. Yellow perch are way up there on the largemouth's menu. I mean, they love it. Oh, that's what I did. Listen, the fire tiger patterns, perch patterns on your crankbaits, you know, shallow running crankbaits, sea running crankbaits. Perch are it, man. I think the bass like them as much as the walleyes like them.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. You know, I mean, they're you know, tender, you know, a tender little snack for them, maybe even with a couple spines on there. You know, definitely they, you know, they do chase around the yellow perch. So really, you know, as anglers, you know, just being kind of aware, you know, of your type, the type of water body, those lower pH coastal water bodies with a little more tan and stained water. These are the lakes that are going to have more golden shiner, mm-hmm. Bluegill, yellow perch forage bases. The ones that are a little more impacted water, you know, water bodies that have, you know, a little more color, you know, usually they can even get muddy to some extent, mm-hmm. you know, places that are over in the Delaware River drainages.
Right.
A lot of those are the ones that tend to have the gizzard shad populations, you know, like your Alloways and your Davis Mills and, you know, the Cooper River even. You know, those are places that are going to have your gizzard shad in them. So, you know, as anglers, we just have to kind of cater our presentation a little more to, you know, to what the, you know, most abundant forage base is.
Okay, Joe's on the line is Christopher Smith. He is a principal fisheries biologist, New Jersey Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries within the Division of Fish and Wildlife. He is the head of the New Jersey Cool Water and Warm Water Fisheries Projects. And Chris, as I've said in an upcoming article in the Fisherman Magazine, New Jersey's freshwater fishing, especially bass fishing, Chris, has never been better. But let me key on a couple of lakes, Chris. You get the 1-2 punch again with Mary Elmer on the stocking list, guys and girls. You can't fish there until, you know, April 1st. And then, you know, again, it's going to be all catch and release bass until, you know, what's that, Chris, June 15th or 16th? But, Chris, you have that correct double shot, Mary Elmer and Sunset. Now, Sunset was one of the premier bass lakes in South Jersey, slow to recover. But, Chris, you just say it hasn't recovered to its former greatness?
You know, I think it's still coming back. We did stock it a few times. You know, from our Hackettstown hatchery, you know, produces some really nice, you know, largemouth bass.
Right.
We stock them. We restock a lake with young of the year fish, fish that are going to be about 2 to 4 inches long. Those fish get restocked for about 3 years after a significant, you know, dam failure or a dredging
right.
project, something like that, when we're restoring a water body. We do about a 3-year stocking of young of the year, you know, largemouth. And then, you know, usually that gets things going again within about 4 to 5 years. So we're still in the recovery phase. I know that there was a tournament, you know, last weekend, mm-hmm. weekend before. They had some good results.
Yeah.
You know, there was a number of limits that were caught, some smaller fish, but they had some decent, you know, nice limits were caught. So it's, you know, we did some electrofishing there in 2019, caught a number of, you know, 3- and 4-pound class fish.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, good, healthy looking yeah. fish, very robust, you know, good girth, you know, in the pre-spawn. So, you know, I think it's going to be a couple more years, but it's definitely coming back. You know, it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, we're speaking with Chris Smith, Division of Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, talking bass, man. Late winter, early spring, larder. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Chris, you're hanging in for another segment, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
When you place a wager with William Hill Sportsbook, every sports moment becomes even more interesting. And we have a special offer to help you bet on all your favorite sports, risk-free. Download the William Hill mobile app, and when you sign up, you can get started with a risk-free bet of up to $500. Use promo code RADIORF. Must be present in New Jersey. 21 plus only. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 800GAMBLER.org. Let's make it interesting with William Hill Sportsbook.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, we're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of March 13th and 14th. Very special guest on the Rack and Fin Radio line is Principal Fisheries Biologist Christopher Smith. He is with the Division of Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, former two-time New Jersey Bass Angler of the Year. Knows Jersey largemouths up, down, and sideways. Also the smallmouth, also the pike, also muskies, bets. Those are topics for another program. Topic is today, right now, the exemplary largemouth bass fishing. You're going to find central and south Jersey waters, especially this time of year, biggest bass. Females are loaded up with eggs. Now, Chris, the movement of these females aggressively, are they heading out all over the place? Like you said before, they're going to move up to the shallows, maybe move back, picking spots out now. Where are you going to find them?
You know, I mean, this is a time of year where we assume that because we have warming trends that fish are moving shallow. Well, we see a lot of fish that actually remain in the deeper parts of in these water bodies. So, you know, in a place like, you know, Rainbow Lake or Parvin, where the maximum depth is 5 or 6 feet of water, right, you know, they really don't have to go very far in order to spawn. So those fish, they can kind of be active. They can kind of almost be anywhere within the water column, within the lake, you know, a place more like Union Lake where you see an actual more of a migration, you know, instead of being just in the deepest part of the lake, you know, you'll have fish that are in shallow that are in less than 3 feet of water, but you may also have fish that are in 23 feet of water this time of year. So, you know, just kind of deciphering, you know, those depths, you know, and kind of getting a little more, you know, understanding of like the movement within a particular water body. It's just a little bit of time on the water to figure out, you know, how much the fish are moving, but definitely a place that has, you know, a good forage base, like a golden shiner, a gizzard shad, those big fish are out, you know, still, you know, chomping, you know, they're eating those fish daily. You know, still looking to, you know, to pack on the weight, you know, before the spawn.
Chris, Lake Lenape comes to mind. Also shout out there, to Lane L. Hamilton, again, Hamilton's closed until April 1st, but Hamilton and Lenape, I've noticed migrations like that. Chris, Hamilton's really not that deep. Lenape, those fish move around, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially places that have, you know, large, you know, open water forage, you know, like a gizzard shad, or even places that have landlocked, you know, owl lives, or even migratory owl, you know, herring, you know, that come up through a fish ladder.
Fish ladders, yeah.
You know, you'll get some, you know, places, you know, like a Union Lake. You know, in the past, we've had some, you know, had some herring that come up through there. Over on the coast, Deal Lake is one that really comes to mind.
Where oh, yeah.
Really, really good, population of migratory herring that come up through the flume, that go into the lake. And we've done some electrofishing there in the spring and had, you know, 10 and 12 inch herring, you know, sticking out of a 5-pounder's throat.
Chris, so, I'll tell you another, I mentioned with Sunshine and Mary Elmer, what a 1-2 punch there. You have Deal Lake. And also, Chris, again, listen, Monmouth County at the far, far end of the Rack and Fin Radio terrestrial signal area, that Lake Tackanassee.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's some big ass bass in there.
Yep. Some neat opportunities over there along the coast with places that have, you know, that do have, migratory herring that go into them. Definitely. And this is the time to fish for them.
Chris, before we get into some little biological and special regulation possibilities coming up, additions to the Lunker Lake program, I want to address, Chris, the tidal water bass bite. Okay. Coming out of Union Lake, coming out of, you know, the Morris River, et cetera. What's bass movement? Okay. You have tide and water temperature. So it's a couple of factors, then, correct? As well as bait fish movement, correct?
Yeah. I mean, in generally tidal water bass, the Delaware River would be a little bit different than, say, like the Morris River down in Millville below Union Lake, Cumberland County. That really down there at the Morris River where there isn't any traditional wintering type of areas or spawning type areas, which limits the extent to which that population can really grow. It's a lot harsher environment than say like the Delaware River, where you have down in the Philadelphia area, where you have a lot of the old boat slips and, there's backwater ponds and, dug canals and, traditional wintering areas like, and spawning areas like Dredge Harbor and Tullytown Cove over on the PA side. Those are places where they can get out of the current. They can kind of do their thing. They overwinter in there. So we do see large migrations of fish, seasonally going from the fall, into that winter transition, going from the winter transition into the spring transition, and then again into the summer. So you see a lot of fish movement, especially in the Delaware River. The Morris River, not so much. There really isn't anywhere for them to go. They're kind of there all the time. They'll go down into some of the little bit deeper bends in the winter, around like the bridges. But there's not really very far for them to go, so we don't see a lot of movement during those times.
Chris, I know we're concentrating on largemouths, but if I can just throw in there, again, I love my bronzebacks too. Smallies, again, Union Lake and also the spillway there, or the fish out of some get out into the river, pretty much mirror the movement, same thing as the largemouths, or a little ahead, a little behind, or they're a cooler water species as opposed to the largemouth. What's the deal?
Typically you would think that the smallmouth being preferring a little cooler water, they're a little cooler water species, that they'd be a little more active, in the cooler months. And you'd see a lot more movement early on with the smallmouth, especially at Union Lake. And it's actually the other way around, ironically at Union, where we actually see more movement, and fish moving up shallow earlier with the largemouth than we do with the smallmouth. They spawn about the same time of year. Usually about the first week and second week in April is when the peak of the spawn starts to occur at Union Lake and most of South Jersey. They kind of overlap, and definitely the largemouth moves shallower earlier than the smallmouth do.
Okay, Chris, let's get to bass management, current bass management and future bass management. Okay, listen, warm water management, keying on naturally the largemouths. That is, for lack of a better term, Chris, to me, that's the fluke of freshwater. That is, that's the money fish. We have five water bodies that are under Lunker Bass Lake management, okay? These are Alloway Lake, South Jersey, Assunpink Lake, Central Jersey, Parvin Lake, South Jersey, and Delaware Lake up there in Warren County, North Jersey. Also Split Rock Reservoir, and also conservation regulations on Riker Lake. I believe that's on the Passaic, Sussex County border. Chris, are there more waters under consideration for special regulation? Now, listen, you know me. I'm not one for regulatory, overreach, so to speak. Now, these Lunker Bass regs, this is 15 inches, 3 fish combined, as opposed to the statewide 12 inches, 5 fish combined. And the Riker Lake is 15 inches, 2 fish combined. Chris, because again, premier waters here would they benefit? And guys say, oh, yeah, but it's for the tournament, guys. So what? Benefit the quality of the resource overall here, Central and South Jersey? Anything on the drawing board?
Yeah, we are, as we've been final stages of our revisions to our warm water/cool water fisheries management plan. That is one of the things that's on the table right now. And there's been some waters that are considered. We've done lake inventories and created management plans and, individual bass electrofishing surveys, over the last 10 years. There's definitely been a number of water bodies that have been thrown around and they're up for consideration for those changes in regulations. And as you mentioned, that it's not intended to target a certain demographic of our constituents.
Right.
It's not targeting people that are just harvesting fish for consumption, and it's not targeting, people that are, tournament fishing. It's looking at the overall usage, of a water body, and then looking at the you know, the either the current fish population, you know, we might be looking at, you know, more of a conservation type aspect of kind of keeping what we already have, preserve, not necessarily preserving, but keeping what we already have, or we're looking to, you know, establish and create a better fishery in a place. So that's where these regulations have been used in the past, to either create or, you know, to keep. And we're going to keep doing that. And I mean, we have a couple that are on the table right now that we're looking at, you know, two of which are Round Valley Reservoir and Merrill Creek Reservoir, you know, two places that have two-story fisheries, both in North Jersey, two-story fisheries, having trout populations, having bass populations, having largemouth and smallmouth. You know, so we, you know, we're looking at those right now. We're looking at the data and seeing how things would play out. We think both of them would benefit from a regulation like that.
Right.
So Chris, we will see how things end up.
That, you know, me and Chris, I used to work there. This is way back when, full disclosure, at the Lebanon Fisheries Laboratory right across from Round Valley. So I'm familiar with the Round Valley fishery. Well, Chris, I'll tell you, that Merrill Creek Smalley fishery, that's become a monster. There are some beautiful bronzebacks in there, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And as waters do get more attention, you know, like I said, we're looking at our, you know, looking at how a water body is being used. And that is, you know, one of the considerations right now is that places, as the word kind of gets out on the quality of a fish population, you know, the bass fishery that we do have at both of those water bodies, you know, that's one thing that we are looking at right now.
Well, Chris, two water bodies in particular that show how the Lunker Bass regulations work in spades, delicious. I mean, it comes at you like the neon lights on Broadway, Harvin Lake, and Assanpink Lake. Chris, heavily fished, heavy tournament activity, yet the quality of the fishing, Chris, which across the paradigm for both sizes and numbers. I mean, you're casually fishing, you're going to catch a lot of fish. You're after big fish, and you're good at it. You're going to catch big fish. Well, listen, I'm talking 5 pounds and up. Chris, incredible fishing on both those waters.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, definitely those two are great examples. And, you know, Parvin, we have a unique situation for as fisheries managers, you know, and when we go out and we do our sampling, we do our electrofishing, that we can kind of, we have two water bodies that are less than, you know, a couple miles, a mile away from each other.
Right.
You know, Rainbow Lake, which is our wildlife management area, is just downstream of Parvin. Same drainage on the Muddy Run, drains down into the Marsh River. You know, basically the ponds are almost identical. They're very similar size. One, you know, Parvin's a slightly, you know, larger.
Right.
Depth is exactly the same. Forage, you know, fish diversity, everything's exactly the same. But year after year after year, you know, in my 20 plus years now of doing this job, we see that the special regulations on Parvin, we produce a larger fish, you know, on average at Parvin than we do at Rainbow Lake. You know, and the biggest fish of the year, you know, I mean, you know, through social media posts, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, you know, pictures that get sent to us in our sampling or, you know, what have you, bigger fish are always caught at Parvin. That's not to say the big fish are not being caught at Rainbow, because they are. You know, we every year, 6+, almost 7-pound fish are being caught at Rainbow Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Just the area in itself produces a big fish. But we believe that those special regulations at Parvin are what's actually putting it over the table or, you know, over the edge.
Okay, we're speaking to Chris Smith, Principal Fisheries Biologist, New Jersey Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries. Topic is New Jersey largemouth bass fishing right now, prime time, biggest bass of the season. And Chris, before I hit you with, again, your top five pick this time of year, again, we covered Assanpink, we covered Parvin. The Bureau of Lands Management, okay, North, Central, South, I mean, acquiring properties, green acres, what have you, et cetera, water bodies on each. I mean, you guys have a full platter going. When a new property's, you know, acquired, are, you know, Where do fisheries research, electroshocking, where does that come on the list? I mean, is it an immediate thing? Hey, check this out. This could be a boon to the public. How does that fall? Because, again, a division seems to be acquiring more and more properties. For example, I found one a few years ago up there on the border of Sussex and Warren County. Man, loaded with bass and pickerel. And there's just a dirt, there's a little sign, there's a dirt road going down. It's, okay, listen, it's off the Paulin scale, or I should say a branch of the Paulin scale. Chris, where does fisheries fit on that list when a new property is acquired and there are water bodies on it? for getting some research done?
You know, it depends on the acquisition. Mm-hmm. You know, in many times in the past, we've actually done, you know, sampling, you know, well before, you know, it ever gets, you know, the deal is done and, right. and it becomes a public water body. You know, we've already sampled it and kind of collected some, you know, baseline data. And in a lot of cases, you know, that was information that we used to solidify the deal, you know, and make a, you know, recommendation to acquire a, you know, a water body. But if you know, if that hasn't, you know, occurred, which sometimes it doesn't, you know, we don't get to it till after the deal's done.
Sure.
You know, we try to make, you know, every effort that ASAP, we get out there, we can get some baseline data, you know, before it has been, we'll say, fished. So we know what we're dealing with, and mm-hmm. then we can kind of make some guidance recommendations, you know, moving forward.
There you go. Okay, Chris, let's get to it. Okay, lights on, man. Chris Smith's top five. Chris, Central and South right now for, and again, we're going to touch on waters that are not open to fishing as of Tuesday because of the trout stocking. Parvin, we mentioned Parvin. We mentioned Aspink. Give us a few more, man. What do you got?
You know, and I mean, we mentioned Union too. I mean, you know, I kind of, you know, we've been doing these kind of, you know, shows and stuff for a number of years now, and I kind of feel like I mentioned the same places, you know, year after year. But, you know, really, you know, I have to.
Yeah.
Because these are some of our best water bodies yep. that we have. You know, I myself as a bass fisherman, I still get, you know, I get chills. You know, my yep. hairs, you know, stand up on the back of my neck just thinking about, you know, going to Union Lake tomorrow morning. Because I will be. And, you know, I'm excited. You know, I get excited every spring. You know, I'm still waiting to catch that, you know, 8 or 9 pounder, you know, in the yeah. spring. I've seen them, you know, I a number of times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm still waiting myself to actually land one that big. And I know it's going to happen, you know, and this is the time when it's going to happen. And the places that I think, definitely Union Lake. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, Union Lake's up there on my tops. It's one of my favorites that I like to fish. You mentioned Assinpink, you know, Parvin. You know, Alloway Lake is one that got a lot of attention,
right.
you know, in recent years. And I think it kind of cooled off a little mm-hmm. bit, you know, people aren't fishing it quite as much as they were, but still, you know, we had some great electrofishing results in 2018, 2019, a number of 6 pound plus fish. One of the biggest bass I've ever had on a rattle trap was at Alloway, came off at the side of the boat, but well over 9 pounds. I'd have to say, you know, a little bit farther, you know, centrally located Manasquan Reservoir.
Ooh.
And, you know, Manasquan's,
oh, yeah.
Manasquan's another one, you know, excellent in the early season, you know, and there's some really, really big largemouth in there and big smallmouth too. And then another one that doesn't get probably as much attention and talked about is Mercer Lake. Mercer Lake, it is a popular
right
rowing facility,
mm-hmm.
You know, with high school and collegiate rowing. So there can be a little bit of some user conflict there, but you know, picking your days that you go and kind of avoiding the days where there's rowing, there's some huge, huge largemouth in Mercer Lake. And again,
yeah.
it's on the Assinpink drainage just downstream from Assinpink Lake. So we see the quality of the fishery that we have in that area. Again, down there in Mercer Lake, is I think there's some big ones swimming around.
Chris, below that dam, I park, I get go out of the park, go on the other side, make a right, park there, walk, what's that, about a quarter mile through the woods, listen, and fish. I call it the pond, the spillway pond below that dam. Chris, my mm-hmm. personal best there, about 5.5 pounds on a chatterbait.
I believe it.
Right, yeah. And right there, you look at the water. This is really, you know, because you look at the, you know, the Mercer Lake itself is beautiful water. Again, unless there is shoreline access there at a park. You know, you pick your spots,
absolutely.
Pick your times. But Chris, that spillway below, that was one of my catfishing spots. I said, but this just
okay.
looks bassy. And that chatterbait, man, that banged him. But Chris, nice fish down there as well. Well, Chris, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Share your knowledge and listeners. Jersey Bass Fishing, the best it's ever been. Thank Chris Smith and the Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries within the Division of Fish and Wildlife. Before I let you go, Chris, how are Michelle, Dad, and those two beautiful daughters?
Everybody's well.
Okay, Chris, hope to see you on the water one of these days this spring. I know I always say that. We'll see you soon.
All right, thank
Take
you.
Take care, brother. Listen, any information on the freshwater fishers, njfishandwildlife.com. Check it out. Hit the freshwater link. It's Jersey Bash. Now is the time. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station. We'll be right back.
News, I'm Carmen Roberts. New York's U.S. Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand joined the calls for New York Governor Cuomo to resign.
Due to, quote, the multiple credible sexual harassment and misconduct allegations, they went on to write that the governor has lost the confidence of his governing partners and the people of New York. 24 congressional lawmakers now calling for his resignation.
Fox's Brian Yenis. At least 7 women have accused the governor of sexual misconduct, which he denies. And protests turn violent in Portland, Oregon, after the mayor announces plans to increase police funding.
Around 60 people dressed in all black targeted the federal courthouse, breaking windows and setting fires. Federal police fired pepper balls and tear gas and made one arrest.
Fox's Dan Springer. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight, it'll be windy and turning colder under a mostly clear sky, the low 39. Saturday, plenty of sun, but brisk and cooler, high 52. Clear Saturday night, low 38. Sunday, mostly sunny, high 57. And Monday, brisk and colder. There will be some sunshine, the high, though, just 44. I'm AccuWeather's Kurt Babinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Let's get going. That was Chris Smith, freshwater bass. Hey, let's talk saltwater bass right now, a.k.a. saltwater bass stripers and circle hooks. The circle hook mandate. Drivers have been getting caught back bays, you know, sedge banks, getting caught from the boats, or bloodworms. Captain Dave DeRay Shoulder at Seeker Bay Sports Center, also in the well at One Stop, have had some nice bass brought in. But the circle hook, yeah, it's still up in the air now. I guess the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, it's going to be what, this Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever, March 16th. The Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission Atlantic Striped Bass Management Board is scheduled to meet via webinar to discuss the definition of bait. Okay, definition of bait. To further clarify circle hook requirements for striped bass and how to handle bycatch. Okay, now we know the reason of circle hooks, okay, reduce mortality, easy to release the fish ad infinitum. Join us on Rack and Fin Line right now, very special guest, good friend of Rack and Fin Radio. We can get him. Hey, he's the one that dropped the word on doing the sand fleas, man. I had texts, hundreds about this. Well, Dave, Dave Edelman created a monster. It is Dave Edelman. He is the LBI coordinator for that great club, American Angler. And they have a tournament coming up, I believe, in May. We're going to have Carl Hartman. I think he's one of the super big wigs in the organization talking about that. But it's Bayside Dave Edelman, okay? Excellent fisherman. Really, really tuned into the conservation aspect, okay? Especially with circle hooks. And Dave and I had a discussion the other night. He said, Tom P., you know, I'm watching this. And Dave's, if he's not on the water, he's on the water somewhere. If he's not here, he's going to be there. If he's not in the inlet, he's going to be in the bay. And also, rumor has it, he's pretty damn good with the bass up there. And I won't mention those waters off of Route 72 going westbound. I said, Dave, let's get together. Let's give it some airtime using circle hooks correctly, using circle hooks responsibly. Offset circle hooks, no. Inline circle hooks. Bayside Dave, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin, buddy. How have you been?
Yeah, Tom, good. Great. How are you been?
Lock cocked and ready to rock, man. Come on. I know it's going to chill.
Yeah, man.
Spring is, to me, it's already launched, Bayside. So, Dave, again, circle hooks. And you said, Tom P., I'm seeing people not using them correctly. Dave, let's get to the whole thing first. The reason for the circle hook, this regulation, and they're going to clarify what bait is, et cetera. But the circle hook itself, yeah. Your take on it.
Well, my take on it, as does the reasoning,
yep.
You already stated that, you know, to increase the mortality rate.
Decrease.
The mortality rate, I'm sorry.
You're too excited. Yeah, I get it, Dave.
Good.
I get it.
That's not good. Yeah, I mean, there's the population has been depleting, and that's when they came up with, let's get a slot fish, you know, between 28 and no, up to 38 inches.
Right.
You know, don't take any of the big ones out anymore. But they're still having a problem, you know, mortality rates are getting up there, you know, with gut hooking.
Right.
And, you know, even where it gets hooked down into the throat and you remove the hook and you got a lot of blood, revive the fish, put it back in the water. A lot of times, I'm not saying a lot of times, but there's a percentage of times when that fish is not going to survive, regardless of how it swims off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why
mm-hmm.
they started this circle hook mandate. The circle hooks, the various studies shown that circle hooks mouth hook a greater portion of fish than typical J-hook pattern type hooks. So that in itself doesn't damage the fish as bad. It's right at the lip, it's right at the jaw, easy to remove, easy to revive the fish, easy to release the fish. And hopefully that will help, you know, the problem with the population depleting with these beautiful striped bass that we love to catch.
Well, Dave, you hear it too. Those circle hooks suck, man. I'm not catching them. I like to cross the rise, yeah, rip the lips ad infinitum, ad nauseum, however you want to do it. I've been there as well. I still am in some of the cases. But Dave, sure, fishing the circle hook correctly, how do you do it?
Yeah. Well, it's different than the J hook. Mm-hmm. You know, the point is manufactured so that it's turned perpendicularly where the point faces the hook shank and forms a circle or an oval shape. Now, you don't want to load up that hook with bait. You want to leave that point and that barb exposed and some of the shaft that goes down from the point,
okay,
down to the throat of the hook. You want that exposed enough that when the hook slides out of the fish's throat and starts to come out of its mouth, that hook is designed to just grab the hook of that, to grab the lip of that fish, grab the jaw, and set itself. You don't have to set a hook like you would with a J hook. As a matter of fact, if you do try to set the hook, when you see your line, when you see your rod going off and you're all excited, you grab that rod and you give that a good yank to try to set that hook. Because it's a circle hook, it's fly right out of that fish's mouth. And a lot, sure, of times, that's what guys are doing wrong, is they're trying to set that hook. The best thing to do, like I said, is you just let the line go tight. What I do is, I call it dead sticking. You throw out your bait, you put the rod in the holder, and you sit there and you stare at the tip until it starts to wiggle. What I like to do is I set my, I toss out my bait. I set my drag to where I want it, to where I can successfully fight the fish. And before I put it in the rod holder, I do like two half turns back, okay, off on the drag, mm-hmm, to give the fish less resistance so that when they pick up that bait, they get it in their mouth and they feel comfortable that they could just turn and start to swim off. That's when you see your rod go, and that's when you see the line starting to peel out. So that way, you know, all right, now I know two turns, I'm going to be right back to where I wanted it set, right where I wanted that drag set. Just bring the rod down, face the water, let it get tight, and just slowly lift up, create the tension, and the hook sets itself, like I said before. Right. And at that point, you're fighting your fish, and you just start reeling it in.
Right there on the same.
So those are the two most important things.
On the same principle, what I do is let it out, you know, let it tighten, but then I'll slowly sweep, just tighten, and sweep instead of lifting up, slowly sweep to either side, opposite with the way the line of fish are going. And I'm experienced like 90, 95% lip hooks. Now, listen, it's not a panacea. There will be times, even with an inline, not an offset, even with an inline, when that bass is going to swallow that hook. And that's going to happen. But again, the chances of that dramatically, that exponentially less than with a standard J or an offset.
Absolutely. And those hooks are designed for, even if they do swallow that hook, that'll slide right out of that fish's throat, and it won't catch on anything, right, until it hits the lip or the jaw. So, but there are times when, you know, every once in a while it might gut hook.
Sure.
It might grab a piece of, you know, whatever's in there that might just cause that circle hook to set inside the fish. At that point, you don't want to dig that out. That's going to damage that fish.
Sure.
Snip the line as far into the mouth as you can. Don't worry about the $5 hook, the 20 cent hook, whatever you have in there.
Right.
Let it go. Let the fish swim. Yeah. And live re-rig your line. That's all. Yeah. I mean, don't kill the fish for the sake of a $2 hook, man.
I believe me, I've seen that. On the other, you know, people don't realize, and I've noticed this on a freshwater scene, species, saltwater scene. Dave, I've found the bigger the fish, the badass the fish, big, badass, rough and tumble, the more delicate it is, the more susceptible it is to mortality after a long fight, sure, and after a release. I mean, as one biologist told me, he said, Tom P., that fish can swim away 15, 20 minutes later. Dave, this is especially true surf fishing for sharks, you know, for the brown sharks and the sand dragons, whatever. That fish may swim off fine. 15, 20 minutes later, it's crab food.
Well, that's very, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's a very important thing as well. The more you fight a fish, the more tired it gets and the more problem it's going to have to revive itself. Get that fish in. Don't let it screw around out there. Don't let that drag keep pulling that thing out. You know, you got to get that fish in. You don't let it tire itself out because
right.
that can, like you said, that fish swims off fine because it's all jacked up from being the fight. And when it gets out there, oh, Jesus Christ, that was some freaking fight, man. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got a problem.
The lactic acid locks it up.
You got to reel that fish in. You got to unhook it as quick as you can. You got to get it back in the water. And that's the most important thing.
Okay, sharing some tips and tricks for using a circle hook. Circle hook mandate. Now, you have those big bloods on there. As Dave said, don't jam the hook with it. But just keep that
point.
Yeah,
don't pile it up with bait. I mean, I like to just hook enough of the bait on there to leave that hook exposed as much as possible. If you're using bigger hooks with bigger baits, we're using bunker, we're using clam. A lot of guys know when they use clam, they use that tie line, that stretchy tie line that keeps the clam all bunched up onto the hook.
Exactly. Yep.
Do that with your bunker. Wrap the line up on the leader, just on top of the eyelet of the hook. Do a few turns up there, do a few turns on the bait, do a few turns on the shaft of the hook, go back up across the bait, and then go up back above that eyelet and tighten that on there. You don't have to tie a hook, you don't have to tie a knot. As the stuff is stretchy, the line is stretchy, as you spin it around, it's going to tighten up itself, and that's going to keep the bait up by the eyelet onto the shaft there and leave the end of that circle hook fully exposed.
There you go. We're speaking with Dave Edelman. He is Bayside Dave Edelman. He is the Long Beach Island coordinator for American Angler LLC. He also has a YouTube, Facebook, Surf Fishing LBI with Bayside Dave. That site kicks some ass, man.
Yeah, I opened that up because I'm trying to promote fishing here on the island, and it's not about just showing pictures of fish and goofy little funny things. It's more of a interactive group. That all the anglers who go out there and catch fish, they'll post what they did, what the wind was like, what the weather was like, blah, blah, blah. Give information to other fishermen who are off the island, who are thinking, oh, I want to come down here this weekend. What's going on?
Beautiful.
What are people using? What's the weather like? You know, that's where this Facebook page is really beneficial to the people who join. And I also have a YouTube channel where I've done some videos. And there is a video that I did about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, about circle hooks, showing how to bait them, how they work. So if you go on Bayside Dave YouTube channel, it's there. There's also the American Angler YouTube channel, which is called Angler Life, which I all the videos that I do on my channel, I throw on the Angler Life channel. So just trying to get information out there and help anglers be more successful.
Well said, in the way it should be done. Bayside Dave, I'm going to sandbag him right now. You're going to have to give up those stripers for a little bit as of April 1st. When the tog season reopens, see you on the jetties, my brother. You take care, Dave. We're up against a hard break.
I still got some sand fleas in the freezer just waiting to throw out there.
We got you, man. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, Dave. Take care. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
See you. Yeah, because of break, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Circle hooks, man. Yeah, as of the 16th of March, by next week, the word will be out officially. What is bait use on a circle hook? Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
This is how you get a premium cup of coffee. Better and faster than the drip, drip, drip method. And way better than a large urn of lukewarm coffee made who knows when. At Royal Farms, our new Swiss-made coffee machines grind fresh, premium beans on the spot and then brew them one cup at a time for the freshest, most flavorful cup of premium coffee you can buy. This is Royal Farms coffee. It's better because it's the freshest coffee in the world. Real fresh, real fast. Royal Farms.
The COVID-19 vaccines are starting to become available across the country. Now is the time to get informed. Get the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Again, get out and enjoy. Plenty of fishing going on. Whether it's spring is here, man. Get out. Largemouths are waiting. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. And boy, striper bite and white perch still happening. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5 FM and 1450.